Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Spring Film Festival season continues in October with Imaginative showing wonderful Indigenous films and art from here and around the world beginning next week. And Toronto After Dark, bringing us the best new horror, sci-fi, and action movies, is on now through Sunday. But this week I'm looking at three new movies, a slasher horror, a serious drama, and a romantic comedy, all about disturbed or unusual boys and men. There's a dangerous man with a knife and a mask, two sets of parents mourning the death of their boys, and a woman whose perfect date isn't exactly human. Halloween Kills, directed by David Gordon Green. It's 2018 in Haddonfield, Illinois. This town is notorious for a series of murders beginning in the late 1970s by a man named Michael Myers, a mysterious man in a white mask. Michael has brutally killed countless people using a sharp knife, always on Halloween. Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, was a babysitter who survived this attack and the many others that followed. When he reappeared at this year's Halloween, 40 years later, Laurie was not that surprised. Together with her daughter Karen, played by Judy Greer, and granddaughter Allison, played by Andy Matichek, they manage to finally defeat this monster by leaving him trapped in a burning house. Or have they? You see, this Michael is virtually indestructible with the mind of a disturbed 6-year-old boy combined with the strength of a supernaturally strong man. Basically immortal. Turns out, surprise, 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 Michael is not dead. He's back and ready to kill more people. So three groups set out to stop him. A posse of costume competitors at a talent show at a local dive bar, a frenzied mob of vigilantes shouting Trump-like slogans, and Laurie Strode's own crew. But can anyone defeat Michael Myers? Halloween Kills is a classic, almost nostalgic reboot of the 1970s slasher. This one takes up immediately after the 2018 version ends. But unlike that darkly humorous take, this one is more of a campy, bloodbath filled with nonstop gruesome violence. It also includes flashbacks to the 70s, introducing a group of characters from that night and where they are now, 40 years later, 2018. There's not much of a plot per se, more like scene after scene of people being gory, awfully murdered by Michael, which isn't to say I didn't like it. The music by John Carpenter, the camera work, the design and art direction, the whole feel of it provides a wonderful counterpart to the disgusting blood and guts. Halloween Kills is a delightfully, totally pointless salute to the original 70s slasher. Mass, written and directed by Fran Kranz. An Episcopal church in a small town is preparing for a meeting. But it's not the usual choir practice or AA meetings. This one is different. Four people, two middle-aged married couples, have never met face-to-face, but they seem to know a great deal about each other. Their sons went to school together. Gail and Jay, played by Martha Plimpton and Jason Isaacs, are filled with dread and seething with anger. They almost can't bear to enter that building. Linda and Richard, played by Ann Dowd and Reed Burney, on the other hand, are desperately trying to make a connection and to mend, not burn, the bridges that bind these two couples. So what is it that ties them together? Well, Linda and Richard's son gunned down a dozen people in his school, including Gale, and Jay's boy before turning the gun on himself. So Gale and Jay's lives are ruined, and they're still trying to recover from the massacre and the death of their beloved son. But Linda and Richard's lives are even worse. They can't even publicly mourn the loss of their only child and are bombarded by hate mail. They're filled with guilt and remorse. Is what their son did their fault? Were they bad parents? Did they pay too much attention or not enough? So through an open and unmoderated discussion, including the showing of photos and telling of stories, these two couples are there to better understand the feelings of the others and ultimately, possibly, to look for forgiveness. But will they find it at a small table in a Spartan church room? Okay, Mass is a highly emotional look at four fragile adults. It's basically a long, slow-paced conversation, especially between the two mothers. Acting is great and the topic is supercharged, but you have to be in the right frame of mind to appreciate Mass. I found it a bit hard to watch. There's no eye candy or external flashbacks, basically nothing to look at other than their troubled faces. It's visually dead, except for the raw emotions expressed very well by the four characters and the actors who play them. But if you stick with it, the most emotional moments are cleverly inserted, almost incidentally, near the end. I'm Your Man, co-written and directed by Maria Schrader. Alma, played by Maren Eggert, is a single woman, a noted academic at a famous Berlin museum. She specializes in Sumerian cuneiform tablets. She also spends one day a week with her angry father who's suffering from dementia. Her life and career are satisfying but largely uneventful until she becomes a reluctant participant in an unusual experiment to spend 3 weeks living and observing her perfect lover. This man, they say, is handsome, smart, and courteous, who's there to address and satisfy all her wants and needs. But who is this mysterious date? It's Tom, played by Dan Stevens. Tom's hair, teeth, and body are always perfect. He never gets angry. He dresses right. He speaks with an oddly alluring foreign accent. And he goes out of his way to make her life more romantic, dropping rose petals in her bubble bath by the light of flickering candles. He likes to dance the rumba. And he's highly skilled in bed, precisely trained on how to give a woman the ultimate orgasm. Alma recoils from him, refuses to sleep with him, and treats him like dirt. She gives him a small cot to sleep on in a windowless storage room. What's Alma's problem? Well, Tom is a robot, and one designed especially for her. But while 82% of German women in her age bracket might say they desire candles and rose petals, but Alma is not one of them. She hates that kind of stuff, and she feels put upon by this machine. Where is his sense of humor? Where is his spontaneity? Where is his humanity? But the thing is, Tom is not just a machine. He has artificial intelligence. He can learn, adapt, and change as long as she lets him into her life. Can the two of them ever understand each other? Will their relationship become sexual? And is love possible between humans and machines? I'm Your Man is a surprisingly romantic story, wonderfully told. It explores the concepts of love, reality, and what people look for in relationships. It's funny, quirky, tender, and surprisingly easy to believe despite the outlandish science fiction premise. While there are some special effects, most of the stranger stuff is handled by the actors themselves. I'm Your Man takes a simple idea and uses it to explore unexpected places. This movie really grabbed me. I liked it a lot. Halloween Kills Mass, and I'm Your Man all open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.